Please take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Well, 2 Sundays ago, we focused on Hebrews 11, and we looked at a long list of godly, faithful saints in the Old Testament who lived their lives by faith. And then last Sunday, we crossed over into Hebrews 12, and we focused on the first 2 verses. And today, I want to continue on with this theme, what looking to Jesus looks like, and see where else God instructs us through His Word to put and to keep our focus in order to please Him with our lives. Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to just do a little crossover for context. We'll begin reading in verse 32. And we don't always do this, but going along with the theme of Stacy, just sensing the presence of the Lord and with a desire to love Him and just express our affection for the lover of our soul. Let's express appreciation for God's Word by standing and giving reverence and honor to the Word of God this morning. Hebrews 11, verse 32. After this long list, 21 times in this scripture, the Bible says, by faith, by faith. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Sarah. By faith, Moses. And on down through the list. And then we get through all of those names and their stories. And then he begins to put it all together. And he says this, "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us." So we've been focusing on the Old Testament saints, and now the narrative shifts and the spotlight is put on you and me today in the New Testament church in verse 1 of chapter 12. "Therefore, with all of this previous chapter in mind, therefore we," that's you and me, "therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you," or "so that you do not become weary and discouraged in your souls." Some of your Bibles say, "so you do not become weary and discouraged and lose heart." Father, this morning we thank you for your holy word. You said every word of God is pure, it is true, it is sound, it is reliable, it is relevant. And Lord, it never wears out. It never goes out of style. You said heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Thank you, Lord, this morning for the truth. Thank you for Hebrews 13 that says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. As many of us raised our hands this week, our lives are in flux. They are fluid. There are struggles and battles and temptations and disappointments and discouragements. And there are some here this morning, Lord, that are struggling with being weary and discouraged, and they're losing heart. So, Lord, this morning, may we turn our eyes to Jesus. Turn our eyes to you, Lord, and through the power and presence of your Holy Spirit, Give us that strength and the joy of the Lord that is our strength to be able to trust in you with all of our hearts, to lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge you, and you will direct our paths. And so, Lord, some of us need a clear word for the next step we are to take. So lead us, Jesus. We are your followers, and we will trust you and obey you according to the power that works within us for your grace. And we will be very mindful and careful to give you all glory and all praise, for you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Let me give you a brief recap of the past couple of Sundays. Hebrews 11, if you're going to look to Jesus, you must live by faith. By faith. Complete trust in God and His Word. And I want to remind you of Warren Wiersbe's helpful definition here of what biblical faith, not secular faith, not worldly faith, but what biblical faith looks like and is defined according to the Bible. And he says this: true Bible faith is confident obedience to God's Word in spite of circumstances and consequences. This faith operates quite simply. God speaks and we hear His Word. We trust His Word and act on it no matter what the circumstances are or what the consequences may be. Faith is not some feeling that we manufacture. It is our total response to what God has revealed in His Word. And so if you say, I am a person of faith, and somebody says, what does that mean? Oh, I believe in God. Well, that's good, but that's not enough. We must be in full obedience to God and what God says in His Word. That's what real faith looks like. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So we walk by faith, not by sight. And then we get into verse 1 of chapter 12, and we see surrender. It says, let us lay aside every weight. Weights can be good things, but when you enter the race, you don't run with weights on. And so you need to lay aside and surrender what it is, maybe even good things, helpful things, that are hindering you from being obedient to the Lord. And then holiness, it says, don't only lay aside the weights, but the sin which so easily entangles and ensnares and traps and deceives us. So no unconfessed sin to trip you up. And then he said, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, being faithful to the finish. And we just saw in verse 2, it says, Jesus, with the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, and he despised the shame. So that catches us up with where we've been, and now let's go to where we're headed. And we see next what looking to Jesus looks like is living with a Christ-centered perspective. Look at verse 3 once again. The Bible says this, for consider him who endured, there's that word again, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. Consider Jesus. The word consider is defined to ponder, to reflect, to contemplate, to think carefully about. To think, to ponder, to think carefully about, to contemplate. It is that bust of the thinker. You remember that? It's taking time. The first couple of messages so engaged our heart, but the author here in Hebrews now, he appeals to our minds, and he says, you need to think about this. You need to consider Jesus. When the race of life gets hard, what does the world offer you? What considerations do they make to you to cope with life, to just get past Monday? What do they offer? Many things. That they offer to you to consider when you are weary and losing heart. Take another vacation. Take another trip. Take another loan. Take another line of credit. Take another job. Take another drink. Take another pill. Take another shot. Take another bite. Take another light. Take another lover. Take revenge. Take another's life. Take your own life. So the world has these empty wells that they offer to us for consideration when life just unravels and and becomes unbearable and we grow weary and discouraged and lose heart. But Hebrews here says, if you don't want to become weary and discouraged and lose heart, here's what the Bible says. Take another look. Take another look and turn your focus on Jesus, because no matter how bad you've got it in this life, there is no other human being that ever walked the earth that had to endure and overcome more than Jesus. For all of mankind, past, present, and future, Jesus carried all of the sin, all of the mess, all of the pain, trauma, trials, tragedy, torture, sorrow, suffering, hostility, the sin, the scars, the physical, mental, and psychological abuse, betrayal, abandonment, disease, depression, discouragement, death, division. Jesus bore it all on his shoulders when he walked down the Via Dolorosa and climbed Calvary's hill and was nailed to the cross. The Bible says that also Jesus nailed our sins to the cross. And he bore it all. And he put it on his shoulders, and they put that cross in the ground, and there Jesus hung, bearing the weight of the world on his shoulders. No one suffered. No one bore the pain and the trauma that Jesus did in this life. And he took it all with him, not only to the cross, but then, praise the Lord, Jesus took it down with him into the grave. And he buried it. So the author here says, are you going through a tough time? Are you having a rough go this morning? Then you need to consider Jesus and take another look at the Lord. Now, let me just say, it's not to minimize our struggles and feel like our problems and pain don't matter or that they are not legitimate. Jesus cares. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, cast all your care on him because he cares for you. So this verse is not saying, oh, your battles, your struggles are not important. Of course not. But it is saying that the point of considering Jesus when you're going through and enduring the heartaches of life, it's there to encourage you because Jesus won. That's why it says consider him. It's not to make you feel bad about yourself that you don't compare to Jesus. It's there for encouragement. So the Bible says, yes, Jesus, he endured the wind and the waves and the rain and the storms and the hurricanes that the world threw at him, but he came out on the other side of the storm victorious. He won. That's the perspective you need. So be encouraged. The Bible is saying, yes, Jesus was nailed to the cross. He bore the crown of thorns on his head. His side was pierced with the spear. He gasped his last breath and cried out, God, God, why have you forsaken me? And he died and he was buried. And yet, the good news is, he won. Jesus won. So the Bible starts saying, you're going through difficulty this morning, then turn your eyes to Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Consider him. Yes, Peter and James and John abandoned him. And with all of the other disciples, and even his heavenly Father turned his back on his son as he hung on the cross and cried out. And he died alone, bearing the sins of the world alone. And yet this very morning, as we just read in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says this morning, in real time, on August 23rd at 10:37 in the morning, in 2026, it says, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior and our sovereign victorious King, is seated upon the throne, high and lifted up, right beside his Father. That's who we serve. So the Bible says, get your eyes off of yourself and consider him. Consider him who endured such hostility, unimaginable struggles because Jesus this morning is with his Father. Oh, and by the way, Peter and James and John are with him too. They're back. And they're with Jesus because he won. The reality of living in this sinful, broken world is we are going to go through trouble. That kind of blindsides some new believers. It's like I stand up here and I talk about love and joy and grace and peace and salvation and forgiveness and all of these wonderful gifts that God gives to us. And you strive to balance it out with truth, but at the same time, people kind of, they start like, ooh, yes, I want that. And it's kind of a consumeristic belief. And then you give your life to Christ and then you realize, wow, my kids are still sinners. My wife still, I'm not her favorite person every day. My boss is still a jerk. People still cut me off in traffic. I still have that old nature down inside of me. And so you have to balance out that we still live in these broken bodies in this sinful world, and we're still going to struggle until Jesus returns. So even Jesus said, man's days are full of trouble. I'll just remind you of a couple of scriptures so you don't get a false understanding of what following Jesus looks like. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 says, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. In John 15, 20, Jesus said to his followers, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. And Peter, the one who abandoned Jesus, said this. He said, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Now, some of you need to hear this morning. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. So the Bible says, don't think it's strange when you go through a difficult time in your life. A few days ago, I had a Zoom call with about 10 other pastors, with Bruce Aubrey. He has this ministry for pastors, Keep the Fire Burning. So there were pastors on there, and you can see to the left of the screen, that's us. I just took a snapshot of my phone. I'm there in the bottom left, and there's pastors from Syracuse, Buffalo, Vermont, Virginia, Ohio, and then guys that had chimed in from Zimbabwe, Kenya, and the Philippines. And we are just meeting together to encourage and to edify and uplift one another in our ministries. We're in different locations. Now think about this. Different locations of the world. Different time zones. It was early morning here, it was late at night in some of these other places. Different races, different color skin, different languages, different churches, some 1,000, some a couple of dozen, some 150. Different ministries, different churches, different ministry philosophies. Different struggles, but we were all serving the same God with the same faith, and Jesus was helping us to have the same perspective. And we'd never done this before. I've done this for a couple of years, once a month, first Monday of the month. We'd never done this. We were talking specifically about music and as pastors and shepherds and what we teach our people through what we sing. And together on a Zoom call from all different parts of the world, we concluded our hour together and we sung in united harmony. We sung, O Lord, my God, when I an awesome wonder consider. Consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars. I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. And I saw Jovi from the Philippines, and I saw another brother from Zimbabwe, and they're lifting their eyes, even on a cell phone, they're lifting their eyes together, and we're all in unison singing. John Phillips said this, when we consider him that will keep us from drooping and discouragement, Jesus is the great stimulant to nerve the soul to the utmost. What looking to Jesus looks like is to have a Christ-centered perspective. And lastly, what looking to Jesus looks like is to live in ever-present hope through the power of our sovereign, victorious King. Look again at verse 3 in Hebrews 12. It says, "For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners, lest, or so that you do not become weary and discouraged in your souls and lose heart." So the obvious implication here in this verse is that we are very prone to becoming weary and discouraged and losing heart. And in order to not sink down into absolute despair, the Bible says consider Jesus, because in Jesus there's not only perspective, but there is hope. There is hope. Similar to faith, as we did in week one, we also need to clarify and properly define from a biblical perspective what hope is compared to how the world and our society defines hope. There are two kinds of hope that we could talk about. The first is secular. This is a worldly idea of hope. It is wishful, subjective expectation based on our personal feelings or emotions. So, yeah, I hope I get that job. Well, I don't. I hope I can make it to heaven. I hope that girl likes me. I hope my husband will be happy this morning. So it's subjective. But a biblical definition of hope is very different. Biblical hope is defined sure and confident expectation to receive what God has promised to us in the future according to His word and in His time. That's what true Bible hope looks like. Again, I'll remind you, in this broken, diseased-ridden world, you better have hope beyond your paycheck. You better have hope beyond your spouse. You better have hope beyond your physical strength. You better have hope beyond your bank account and beyond your children's future. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:19, he said, "If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied." You don't need just earthly hope. You need eternal hope. And so the Bible gives us a reassurance. Some of you feel like your boat this morning is drifting and sailing and the oars have fell out of the boat and the back tail has snapped off and you're just out there just drifting. And you don't have the ability to kind of wrangle the thing and bring yourself back to where you want to go. But I want to remind you this morning that when you lose your ability to fix the situation, Jesus is still not limited. Because the Bible says, even if you feel like you're drifting, here's what biblical hope looks like. This is the hope we have. The hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters into the presence behind the veil where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus having become our high priest forever. And so our hope is not a subjective expectation. Our hope is based in the reality that if God promised something to us in His word, He will fulfill it in His way, in His time, according to His will. So we can trust Him. Therefore, we can have hope. Our hope is not based on our feelings. Our hope is anchored in foundation on a person. And His name is Jesus Christ. I had to pray with myself this morning. And I said, "Lord, I do feel like in many ways this week, I feel like I have been like Paul in Romans 7. Like just, good night, just not thriving, but just, you know, crawling, brawling." And Romans 7, and he said, you know what Paul said in Romans 7? He said, "The things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, that's exactly what I do." You ever have those weeks? good night. And I'm down on my knees this morning before I preach to you. And I said, Lord, move me to Romans 8. That no matter what comes, not height, not depth, not nakedness, not peril, not sword, not an incurable disease from at least man's standpoint, not division, not accusation, not struggle with the family, but Lord, move me today before I preach from Romans 7 to Romans 8 that nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. For we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us and gave Himself for us. I knew coming into this service, you say, oh boy, he's got the little violin out talking about himself. Look, I'm attempting to encourage you. I know it's weird, but look, my brother's here, he's already laughing. I can't stand that guy, but look, what I'm trying to encourage you to do is some of you are feeling the same pain, the same pressure, the same load. And I just want to tell you this morning that if you turn your eyes to Jesus, there is hope on Christ the solid rock. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ the solid rock. I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. So, what does looking to Jesus look like? To live by faith. Regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the outcome, we have complete trust in the Word of God. That we are surrendered to Him, no weights to hold you down. That we are living, as Psalm 24, verses 3 through 5 says, with clean hands and a pure heart. Holiness before the Lord. No unconfessed sin to trip you up. Endurance. That man, we're not firecracker Christians, but by the grace of God, we endure to the finish. And we touch the tape. And then this morning, that the Lord shifts our perspective. And we are empowered by Jesus' victory. Therefore, we have hope. Unfading confidence in God's promises. I'd ask you to bow this morning and ask the praise team to come. I think today is one of those days when I need to humble myself and just with my church family, just bow before the Lord. And if you have if you have struggles in your life, I would encourage you to join me and just turn your hands over and lay it down and trust the Lord with all of your heart. And then if you're able, come today at 2:00 that we can not only listen but love on a couple, and we will certainly pray over them and ask for God's grace and mercy. And we serve the great physician. Amen. Father, this morning, we need Thee. Oh, we need Thee. Every hour, we need Thee. So we humbly ask, bless us now, our Savior. We come to Thee. Lord, increase our trust and our faith. Deepen our surrender. And Lord, if there's anything in our lives that are displeasing to You, help us to lay down that sin. And then, Lord, just be faithful. Be faithful. Endure. And just take a look. Take another look. Consider You. And, Lord, give us the hope we need to press on for today. I pray even for this afternoon, that Holy Spirit, Your presence, Your power, Your anointing, Your joy would be in this place as we gather together to strive to encourage and uplift. Jesus, we love You. I love you, Jesus, because you first loved me. So today, may we trust in you with all of our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen. Would you stand? Let's sing together.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all.
Good. Amen.
Amen.
Trust him and he will see us through. You're dismissed.